You're listening to BitTalk, a podcast about Bitcoin, money, freedom, and the ideas that matter.
Bitcoin Veterans is building a community where service, purpose, and Bitcoin come together. Through education, events, podcasts, and meetups, they help veterans connect, learn, and find a new mission in the Bitcoin space. Learn more at bitcoinveterans.org.
Welcome to BitTalk. I'm Mike. We often talk about Bitcoin's fundamentals: security, sound money, censorship resistance. But sometimes, the most powerful demonstrations of these principles happen far from financial hubs, in places solving very real, very human problems. Today, we're looking at Africa, where Bitcoin mining is intersecting with two fundamental needs: energy and economic agency. Lauren, when we hear Bitcoin mining in Africa, what's the real story beyond the headlines?
Hey, I'm Lauren. The story is about turning waste into work and watts into wallets. It's not speculative, it's physical. We're seeing operations that take stranded hydropower in rural Kenya or surplus solar in South Africa. Energy that literally has no other economic use, and convert it into hash power. That process funds local electrical grids, creates jobs, and generates Bitcoin that people can actually hold. It's an operator's blueprint for leveraging Bitcoin's fundamental incentive structure.
It sounds like finding a use for the steady drip from a leaky tap. Instead of just letting it go down the drain, you channel it to power something meaningful. We're going to break down how these setups work on the ground, the technical and economic trade-offs, and what they tell us about Bitcoin's role beyond pure finance.
Exactly. And it's a perfect case study because it's happening right now. Let's start with the off-grid model. Research points to these mini-grid projects in Kenya. Paint the before picture, Mike. What's the energy and economic situation in these areas?
I'll set the stage. You have a remote village. Maybe there's a river with good flow for hydropower or strong, consistent sunlight. But there's no connection to a national grid. The capital to build a standalone power plant is huge, and there's no large factory or industry nearby to buy that power and make the project viable. So the energy potential is just stranded.
Right. It's potential energy with no economic outlet. Enter the Bitcoin miner. The setup is straightforward. You build a small hydro or solar array. You put a containerized or shed-based mining operation next to it with some ASICs, and you connect it to a local microgrid. The Bitcoin mined provides a revenue stream that is predictable in sats and accessible globally. That revenue pays off the infrastructure investment.
So the mining operation becomes the anchor tenant for the power plant.
Precisely, the first customer. It makes the entire project bankable. Without that guaranteed offtake, no one finances the dam or the solar farm. With it, you can build. And once the infrastructure is paid down, you can start expanding that microgrid to connect households. You've literally used Bitcoin mining to bootstrap an electrical grid.
That's the energy piece. But you mentioned wallets earlier. How does mining revenue translate to individual financial inclusion in a place that might not have a bank branch for 100 miles?
This is where it gets concrete. The models vary. The mining revenue could be shared with the community, paying local workers in Bitcoin, or creating a community fund. Suddenly, people who had zero banking access are receiving a global, sound money asset directly. They can hold it in self-custody. It's a direct, practical link to everything we've covered in our self-custody and multisig episodes.
That's a great callback. It's the ultimate practical application. A village treasury could be a 2 of 3 multisig setup.
Exactly. Transforming energy revenue into a sovereign communal asset. No middlemen, no permission. But this model, the off-grid pioneer, is just one blueprint. What about places that already have a grid, but a famously broken one? That leads us to South Africa.
Right. South Africa's power utility, Eskom, has struggled with reliability for years. Now, they're reportedly looking to sell surplus power to Bitcoin miners. This is a completely different model. What's creating this surplus in the first place?
It's a fascinating twist. There's been a massive surge in private rooftop solar adoption. So, on a sunny day, solar generation floods the grid, but overall demand might be lower. This creates a technical and economic headache for the utility, potential grid instability, and lost revenue. Bitcoin miners represent a perfect, flexible load. They can consume that surplus almost instantly.
Operationally, how does a miner set up to be this flexible load for a utility? You can't just flip a giant switch.
You need dynamic load management. The miner agrees to ramp up consumption when surplus is high and power is cheap, sometimes even negatively priced, and then curtail or shut down during peak demand periods. This requires specific infrastructure and direct agreements with the utility. In this model, the miner isn't just a consumer, it's a grid service provider, helping to balance and decarbonize the network.
It's like a shock absorber for the grid. When there's a sudden surge of solar energy, instead of it going to waste or stressing the system, the mining rigs silently soak it up and turn it into network security. How does this fit into the bigger, often misunderstood picture of Bitcoin's energy mix?
It's critical context. Recent data indicates that over 56.7% of global Bitcoin mining in 2026 is using sustainable energy. These African projects aren't weird outliers. They're part of a global trend where miners are financial engineers for the energy sector. They chase the lowest cost power, which is increasingly stranded or intermittent renewables. They're becoming integral to the energy transition, not an obstacle to it.
Both models sound compelling, the off-grid pioneer and the grid stabilizer. But this isn't just plug and play. Let's pressure test the optimism. Beyond the core idea, what are the practical headaches? I'm thinking cooling, internet, hardware logistics.
Bitcoin Veterans is a group of military veterans, and Bitcoin advocates focused on education, community, and helping veterans build purpose and resilience through Bitcoin. From podcasts and meetups to resources and events, they're creating a place for veterans to keep learning and keep growing. Visit bitcoinveterans.org to learn more.
And we're back. All right. You were about to pressure test the operational realities.
The trade-offs are real. Infrastructure is huge. You need robust cooling solutions in hot climates. That's extra cost and complexity. You need reliable, low-latency internet for block propagation, which is non-trivial in remote areas. Then there's hardware, acquiring ASICs, dealing with import duties, maintenance. The operator takeaway is to start small. Run a pilot with a few rigs to prove the hash rate and economic viability before you scale.
And where do regulations fit in? Is there a clear path, or is it a minefield?
It's a spectrum. The off-grid, mini-grid approach can often operate in a regulatory gray area or under local agreements, effectively sidestepping convoluted national energy policy. The grid-connected model, like with ESCOM, requires formal partnerships and policy recognition. The positive evolution we're seeing is mining being treated as an industrial consumer or even a grid asset rather than as a pariah.
Zooming way out, how does this entire conversation, earning Bitcoin through monetizing local energy, contrast with the top-down programmable money systems we discussed in our CBDC episode?
It's the perfect contrast. Bitcoin earned through mining is non-programmable, censorship-resistant property. It's the absolute opposite of a CBDC. In regions with weak currencies or restrictive financial systems, this offers a tangible form of economic freedom. It's savings that can't be inflated away by a distant central bank or turned off because you donated to the wrong cause. It's sound money earned through work.
To synthesize, the story of Bitcoin mining in Africa, as we've seen in Kenya and South Africa, fundamentally reframes the conversation. It's not just about consuming energy. It's about creating economic value from energy that would otherwise be wasted. That value funds infrastructure, creates jobs, and ultimately provides a gateway to sound money.
Exactly. It demystifies the whole energy debate by showing Bitcoin's unique ability to monetize energy at the margins anywhere in the world. For operators, it's a playbook. Find stranded power, start small, and build local value. For everyone else, it's a powerful reminder that Bitcoin's proof of work is, at its heart, a tool for converting energy into immutable economic truth.
Next time you hear a simplistic take on Bitcoin's energy use, think about these mini-grids and grid partnerships. Think about the signal, not the spin. Thanks for spending time with us on BitTalk. Until next time, keep learning, keep questioning, and keep stacking knowledge.